What's this movie about?
It's about a plane crash or something, I think.
I choose to drink.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You choose it? Well, I don't see a whole lot of choice going
on here. I choose to drink, and I blame myself. I'm happy to. And you know why? Because I choose to drink. I got an ex-wife and a son I never talked to. And you know why? Because I choose to drink.
Jesus fuck, I'm gonna need a beer.
Why do we own that?
Okay. Episode 3. This was Flight from 2012. Okay, your turn, Dave. Why do we own this?
We own Flight because it was a part of a 5-DVD Denzel Washington movie set that I wanted because it had Training Day and Fallen in it. And I was a big fan of the movie Fallen.
Right, we haven't gotten to that one yet.
No. Fallen is about the demon that can possess people by touching you.
But that's not what Flight is.
No.
Now, I do want to note that when I opened the case to put the DVD in this evening, rather than having 5 DVD slots, they just took 5 DVDs and just stacked them one on top of each other and then shut the case.
Right, right.
Hope this works!
Yeah, I think the whole thing was probably about like $6.
It might have been 10, but you know, $10 a movie, it's a really good deal.
Yeah. So, it's about midnight. We just watched this movie. And it's tough to do a comedy podcast about such
depressing.
A fucking depressing movie. The one thing that I'll say for this movie, I mean, it had good performances and whatever, but like, for anyone who has had any sort of experience with high-functioning alcoholism in their life...
Which I would venture to say, every person
on this planet could have some sort of connection.
Yeah,
absolutely, to different degrees. But like, if you've dealt with it, you know, in your immediate family or in your own life... I don't see how you could sit through this film.
Oh,
I mean, it's just like... I mean, you know, they do a great job of, like, establishing tension around, like, would he or would he not drink? Like, there's a couple of scenes in this movie that's like, is he gonna drink? Oh,
yeah, they actually did a good job with that scene, I think, yeah.
I agree, and there's a lot of things that are, like, well done about this movie, but, like, this is Zemeckis, which I could be wrong, but I think Zemeckis is the guy who did, like, Forrest Gump and The Polar Express...
He did the Back to the Futures.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to Polar Express. Yeah.
And I think he did Forrest Gump too. And it's just like
he was a producer on Ghost Ship. Love that movie.
So like you know, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Polar Express. You kind of think you have Zemeckis figured out. And this was just it was just sad. It was sad.
Sad. Yeah.
And like. The plane crash sequence was, like, really well shot.
It was. It looked like they made, like, an actual plane and just broke it and stuck it in a field.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
But I do say that a few things stick out at me from a comedy perspective in this movie.
You found comedy and play?
One is the soundtrack, which was...
Oh.
Which was a little on the nose. Like,
very on
like
the nose.
There was the scene where Hotel Rwanda, War Machine. Oh my God, what's his name?
Don Cheadle.
Where Don Cheadle,
Hotel Rwanda.
Where Don Cheadle and Bruce Greenwood are there, and they find him, and he's passed out, and they hire John Goodman to give
him John
cocaine.
Goodman, by the way,
John Goodman makes anything better. John Goodman brings the cocaine, and they bring him back to like presentable, you know.
Right.
Form. And the music that's playing during that sequence is I Get By With a Little Help from My Friends, which is just like...
Very on the nose.
That's just like the music department was like, what is the most obvious song for this circumstance?
Yeah, I would, if you actually, which is really fun, because now that I have IMDb out, it's just, you know, kind of always out there. But what's really fun is if you click on soundtrack, you've got Alcohol... By B&L, which great song.
Doesn't belong in a movie about alcoholism.
Yeah, no. You've got, let's see what else do we have here. You have Gimme Shelter.
Yeah. But also sympathy for the devil.
Sympathy for the devil,
like,
with a little help from my friend.
You should probably
feeling all right.
Not want to put two Rolling Stones songs in the
nope.
same time. No, I mean, not just two Rolling Stones, but the two most iconic Rolling Stones songs.
Got a Joe Crocker, Feeling All Right. Like, come on.
Yeah,
people.
Feeling All Right. That Feeling All Right when you're when you're getting
Ain't No Sunshine.
High. Yeah, right.
I mean, woofity woof woof.
But no, the other thing that stuck out was, I understand why Mary Riley's character, like, I mean, she's in a rough place.
Kelly Riley.
Oh, Mary Riley is something else. That's a movie. That's a Julia Roberts movie, I think.
Mary Riley?
I think so.
Well, now I have
to... Kelly Riley, you're right. Kelly Riley, the woman who played Watson's wife in Sherlock Holmes.
My God, Mary Riley is, in fact, in 1996, Julia Roberts' John Malkovich movie.
I know. She plays like an Irish maid or
fuck?
Something.
Glenn Close, Michael Sheen?
I know. Michael Sheen, really? I didn't know he was in 1996.
Michael Gambon?
Nice.
Can we watch this?
Good cast. That sounds better than Flight.
For real.
But, like, so I get why Kelly Riley's character, like, she's in a rough place, and she's had a heroin overdose, and, like, you know, whatever. Like,
you know, MBD, just another day.
She's got problems. But, like, she hooks up with Denzel, and I get that he's Denzel.
Yeah,
but
he is, like, wicked smashed when she goes to hook up with him,
like,
too.
In a really bad place.
Real bad. Like, why would you associate
and
with
him? And
she's
so pretty, and he's literally twice her age, and I just don't get it. That's, like, the Hollywood thing of, you know, oh yeah, 63-year-old men can get hot women in their mid-30s. And it's,
unless,
like, it's
Jeff
every
Goldblum.
Movie.
Unless it's Jeff Goldblum, and Jeff Goldblum can do no wrong.
Jeff Goldblum can always have a girl in
Jeff Goldblum
mid-30s.
Can have me any day of the week.
Yeah, I know. So that's, I don't know, those are my main issues.
Yeah, I mean,
things to
John
think
Goodman
about.
Is, like, a hero worship the guy because of Coyote Ugly. So
because of Coyote Ugly.
He was a Coyote Ugly, and he was the best. Coyote Ugly was just fantastic.
Oh my God.
So, you know, John Goodman really was a bright spot in the film for me.
I love him. I love John Goodman. You know what I love him from? Fallen. Full circle.
OMG. Okay, so we gotta watch that one next. Or in general. Anyways, I liked Kelly Riley. I think Denzel did a nice performance. I don't know that it was Oscar-worthy, which is why he didn't win, but I
totally
don't think
agree.
It was Oscar nomination-worthy either.
No.
I think that it was somebody being like, we need more Denzel! Which is fine. Denzel's a great actor.
It feels a little bit like Meryl Streep, like when Meryl Streep is a mediocre job, she's so good.
Oscar
that they're like, yeah, nomination, why not?
Yeah, but
if you compare it to Training Day, which I know it's been a while since you've seen that, but if you compare it to
Training Day was a much better performance.
In Training Day, and the thing about what makes Training Day so so cool to watch is how unexpected it is. And like,
I don't remember a lot of Training Day, so don't ruin it for me.
All right, I won't. But like, even you take a movie like Crimson Tide or something where he plays more like a standard Denzel-y character.
He's still better than this.
This movie was so one note. Like,
I get the feeling too that Denzel hasn't had a lot of immediate contact with functioning alcoholism.
Interesting. You felt that it was a little caricature-y?
At times, when he would just, you know, stand up and fall and smash everything and pass out on the floor multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. Or the scene with the son.
Yes, when he's, like, violently hugging his son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just seemed... I mean, I don't know if it was caricature on the part of Denzel, or I don't know if it was the writing style, which also got an Oscar nom. Screenplay for writing in every stereotypical alcoholic-y situation.
During the movie, I was reading an article from, like, Psychology Today or something, talking about how...
Of course you were.
Yeah. Talking about how, like, admirable the inclusion of a high-functioning alcoholic character is in a mainstream movie, and how it's not, like, done a lot, it's not talked about a lot. And I'm like, alright, fine.
But there's a reason it's not. It's because unless you are a high-functioning alcoholic, you can't properly portray a high-functioning alcoholic.
That's probably true, but also I just don't, like, I just don't...
Nobody wants to see
that. Who wants to watch this movie?
Yeah, so, I mean, all in all, good film. I have to be at work in 8 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, so we can wrap this up.
But, okay, you wanna...
Before we do that, we should do...
Off?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
One, two, three.
Get rid
of
it.
Hey, high five.
Which is hilarious because in our quest to save space on our rack, it does nothing.
It does nothing because they just shoved them all in the same fucking case
with the other movies that we
probably won't
get rid of.
Oh my god, that's so disappointing.
But just in our brains, we can be like, we got rid of that one.
Yeah, but we could like flying saucer it into like the canal or
something. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
definitely
littering.
That's not okay. We could flying saucer it and see if Minnie will catch it midair.
Yeah. I just would rest easier knowing it that it was in the garbage.